Well, good morning. Welcome to Friendship Community Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Y'all aren't supposed to say anything.
Oh, sorry.
This is church. You're not supposed to. No. Oh, man. Yeah. The thing is I actually enjoy this, but I can't let them know. I don't want them to hear this. I can't let them know that because then they'll do it more. But I actually kind of enjoy this.
We heard you. That means a lot, man.
Okay. So this morning, I have the pleasure of letting you know that we're going to start a new sermon series. We've got a little bit more to do on the More Than Random discipleship series, but we're going to start a new series this morning that may be, it's very likely that this is the last sermon series that we will start and finish here at LZ Patton Elementary. Yeah. Now, for those of you that are new, they're not clapping because I'm going away for a long time or that the church is folding, but for those of you that are visiting for the first time, we're actually moving into a permanent facility the first time in 10 years, almost 11 years of this the existence of this church over at Shiloh Plaza. It's a strip mall, an old 70s strip mall that had a little grocery store as the anchor spot. It was called Save-A-Lot, so our worship center auditorium is going from a Save-A-Lot prayerfully to another Save-A-Lot of a different kind. So we're excited about that. But this sermon series entitled I Belong really fits with where we are as a church and where we've just come from as taking 3 weeks and looking at the issues of personality and grace and truth and who we are and where our flesh, just who we were created as and how we evolved through both the good things and the bad things of our family situations, our school situations, our social and work situations, how we've grown as individuals, and how we long not only to be known, but we long to belong. And so this morning, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be, I hate to do this, but I want to keep everything to kind of this nebulous schedule, but we could be only in this place for another 6 weeks. 7 weeks is more doable, and 8 weeks I feel like is a for sure thing. And so we probably have only 6 or 7 weeks left here. And so just like we used to have pipe and drape, black drape around, and we had these lighting structures that shot different colored lights on the ceilings and set the mood, and you didn't have to see your neighbor, you know. You didn't have to make eye contact. We've stripped some of those things away, both logistically to make things easier for our setup crew, and also to kind of signify that we're going from a semi-permanent to a permanent place. We also did it to kind of create community, and that's why we've got some name tags available for you out there. But we're going to start stripping away even more just from a practical standpoint, because we're going to need to take like speakers that we use every Sunday, and we're going to have to permanently mount them in the new facility. And we're going to need some of these stage pieces for like getting the children's church area ready. And like these chairs, just these chairs, not those chairs. Those chairs, no, those are going away. But these chairs, yes, you're welcome. Well, you're sitting in one. Bill, get here earlier. Then you can sit over here with the adults. But oh, no, right now, no. Oh, no, don't leave. So we're going to be doing some things like where one Sunday for certain, but possibly two Sundays where we might pull out these bleachers. I know, right? And you're like, what weeks are those so we can go on vacation? Anyways, so let's talk about this concept of belonging, all right? What are some things that you can belong to?
Church.
What else? Family. What? Yeah?
A sport.
What? A sport? What else? Clubs? Organizations? Yeah? Band? Yes. Band. Normally that's a phase, you know, and it's an awkward phase. No. But, well, how about this? You can belong to a gang. You can belong more anthropologically. You can belong to a race. So there are different things that we can belong to. Well, this morning we're going to look at a section of scripture that is pretty familiar for people that have been in church for any amount of time. In fact, one of my first sermons that I preached here was on this topic. And so what I want to do is revisit these verses and look at how the Bible talks about belonging. And so we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, you can navigate there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12, or you can just follow along projected onto the back wall. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." And Paul goes on to make sure we don't miss the point. "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So, what is Paul talking about here? What is Paul talking about? What is Paul talking about when he's referring to the body? The church. Yes, Jacob. The church. He's speaking about the church. But which church? There's a lot of churches, right? On your drive, bike ride, or walk to church, how many churches did you pass? 3, 5, 10, 20? So which church is Paul talking about here? Well, there's actually only two possibilities that he's talking about here. And it's not Friendship Community Church and one other church that comes to mind. It is these two churches, the universal church and the local church. Those are the only two churches that he could be talking about. So what is the universal church? The universal church is the church that every person that puts their faith and trust in Christ, that they belong to. So on Thursday morning, I flew to North Carolina to meet with the founder of More International, the missions and ministry organization that was founded by this man and two others in Brazil to help the suffering church worldwide, both refugees and people that suffer, Christians that suffer from natural disasters, And he's from Brazil, and I land in North Carolina to visit him. He's staying there with his family on a kind of a missionary retreat, recharging. And of course, he said, let's meet for lunch. And where did we meet? A Brazilian steakhouse, of course. He's Brazilian. He found a Brazilian steakhouse in North Carolina. Not barbecue, but, you know, skewers of meat that they just bring endlessly to your table. And, you know, I'm trying to remind him I've lost 35 pounds. I don't need to gain it back in one day. And so he is a member of the Universal Church, the people that we went to minister to in the Middle East twice earlier this year are part of the Universal Church, the Christians that the students interacted with as part of World Changers down in Birmingham are part of the Universal Church. So why, when Paul uses this imagery of the body to describe the church, have you noticed that he doesn't use the imagery of a building? We're all a building. And of the building, we are many parts. Some of us are rooms, some of us are hallways, some of us are janitor's closets. He doesn't use that imagery. Why? Because when we think of church in a local context, we seem to think of buildings. In fact, one of the signatures of the history of Friendship Community Church are T-shirts that on the back that says, the church has left the building, you know, which is easier to do when you don't have a building. I mean, let's be frank, let's be honest. And so that's going to be a challenge. Really, this is going to be a challenge. Now that we have a building, we're going to want to stay in it, especially on days like this, you know, get that AC pumping. Why did Paul use the imagery of a building or a body instead of a building? Because buildings, largely, they don't do anything. They can't accomplish anything. The building is the accomplishment. But the body can accomplish something, right? The body can build something. The body can run a race. The body can compete. The body can rescue. Buildings don't do that. Buildings can be used as tools, but the body can do that. So this picture of the body, does it work for the universal church? Yes. Yes. So Paul is referring to the universal church here. He's talking about all members of the body, American believers, Southern American believers, partnering with Northeastern and Californian believers as part of the body, partnering with Canadian believers and Latin American believers, and on and on and on. But what about the local church? Does the local church, when I say local church, I mean like Friendship Community Church or Church X down the road. Soon all the names will be taken and there will be a Church X probably. But welcome to Church X. So what about the local church? Does the imagery of the body work for that? For us? Sure, of course. So, but was Paul referring to the local church? Well, remind me again what we were reading. We were reading 1 Corinthians. It's the first letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He was writing to the local church. In fact, he was writing to the Corinthian church, a church that was going through much upheaval, much not quite right teaching, and a lot of conflict and disagreements. And so Paul, in the context of this letter, is writing to people, a group of people like us, that needed to get along, that needed to not dismiss other people because they were different or because they couldn't contribute, because they were feet and they weren't hands, or they were ears and they weren't eyes. So both were applicable. Now, why are both applicable? And why should we study this morning? Well, there has become a pretty big trend within church culture and Christendom, okay? Christian life, especially here in the United States. And the trend has become that, to use the body imagery, that we have a bunch of floating body parts that are just floating around in their weekly lives and their monthly lives and their day-to-day lives and just kind of floating unattached. Does this describe any part of your life? Has there been a time in your life where you have been detached from the body of the local church? You might be semi-detached right now, okay, ready to attach to a different church, which, come talk to me. And if I can help you find a better body to be, local body to be attached to, I'll help you do that. Or if you want to, I'm not going to give you the hard sell, because ultimately my concern is that you are a part of the universal church, number one, that you're connected to Christ, and that you're a part of a local church. Friendship Community Church is not the local church. It's a local church. And so, but it's important that you don't live a life where you are detached or semi-detached, where you're an arm barely hanging on by some sinewy flesh, but the bone is severed, the muscles are severed, because that member of the body is not useful. So let's talk about this exploding trend of people that just kind of float dismembered from the local church. And so what we're talking about is two separate terms, and in your notes it gives you two options: membership versus dismemberment. Okay, one sounds like something that you could belong to a country club, like you have a country club membership, and the other one sounds really gruesome. Like, you don't, like when you leave the country club, when you let your country club membership lapse, they don't send you a letter or say, oh, we're sorry about your dismemberment, right? But we're talking about the language of the body, not the language of social clubs or teams or whatnot. So the membership we're talking about is not one of an organization, but of an organism, And people lacking attachment to the body are technically and practically dismembered. And this can happen at the direction of the body. The body can dismember a member, and that happens very rarely in a church context anymore. It's called church discipline, where someone is living a life or a pattern of unrepentant sin, and it's injuring other members, and it's injuring the body. And so you go to that person first one-on-one, and then you go, if they don't change, if they don't repent, then you go with another member and speak to them. And if they don't change and repent, then you take them before the whole body and say, look what you're doing. And if they don't repent and change, if they don't stop injuring the body, then you amputate them, you dismember them from the body, from the fellowship. But that rarely happens now in churches. Some churches it happens, very few churches it happens too much and to an extreme where it's actually abusive. But most of the time it's self-amputation. And that's why we have dismembered people in our communities floating around unattached to the local body. Why do people self-amputate? Why do people detach when we need each other? Well, the core reason behind that is individualism. And we value greatly individualism in the United States. I mean, there was a big campaign, a marketing campaign back in the 80s and maybe even to the early 90s for the U.S. Army, okay? For the U.S. Army. Tell me if you remember these commercials where it was like showing a young man, usually probably about 17 or 18, doing doing these impossible, almost impossible things like rock climbing and trudging through mud. And it was just this one guy, right? And this is an ad to join the army. Does anyone remember, can anyone think of what the marketing slogan was to get you to join the army? Yes, you are an army of one. That does not make sense. Like you give me a gun and say, okay, go fight the Taliban. It's like, how effective is that going to be? It was a marketing campaign to make us think, us young men at the time, I was young at the time in the 80s for a brief moment, and it was to make us think that we were like superheroes, that like, oh, I can do it. But the whole concept behind the army is more like the body than individual superheroes. But that's what our heart loves. How about all of the car commercials where you see all of these cars that are painted the same and they look the same, like they have, they're all four-door sedans and they're all going in one direction, just driving safely. Then all of a sudden, here's this black car that's going against the grain and all the cars like split off to get out of its way. And it's like, you know, BMW, the ultimate driving machine, you know, the only car that's worthy of driving. Madison Avenue and all of the advertising executives know our hearts love to be an individual. In fact, we love following trends until the trends are so common that we look for the new trend that makes us an individual. But membership to the body, membership is submission of the individual for the sake of the whole. Membership is submission of the individual for the sake of the whole. Remember my first, how many of you were here on my first Sunday last year? Okay, yeah. Okay, so I preached on the body and I preached on that I wanted to emphasize as a body of believers, as a church, that we were going to be for restoration over what? Amputation. Thank you, Kaylee. Restoration over amputation. Restoration is not easy. To restore a severed member, it takes time. It takes multiple surgeries. It takes immobilization. It takes physical therapy. Amputation is gruesome but easy. You just cut it off and you're done. But the missing member is still felt as you try and live life. Okay, so let's talk for a second about this. Sorry, I lost my place. Did I skip a point? Oh, I deleted a point. Hold on. This is going out on the podcast. Okay, I've got it up there. I deleted it from my notes. Okay, so let's talk about the members of the body, okay? Because Paul mentions a bunch of members of the body. Hands and eyes, but I'm going to add a couple that he didn't mention. Tonsils and the appendix. Hands, eyes, tonsils, and the appendix. Okay, now Paul mentions two of those. Two are very, very useful. I mean, the hands do the work. The eyes see and have vision and can appreciate beauty, visual beauty. But what about the tonsils? Are the tonsils useful? Well, I mean, some, like, it used to be that, like, as soon as you had a tonsils flare up, the doctors would say, cut them out. They're useless. Now, modern medicine is going kind of the other way. Like, well, no, there's some benefits to keeping them. Is that news to some of you? Okay. So tonsils, what happens when your tonsils flare up? What's the condition that you're in? You cough, sore throat. Okay. It's irritating. It's an inconvenience. I mean, it can knock you out for a while, but it's not necessarily life-threatening, or is it? Is it life-threatening? It can be if you leave it alone too long. Okay, that could be. Sydney is a doctor. Sydney, yes. Yeah, so one of our teenage doctors, she's a Doogie Howser. So most of the time, the tonsils are not life-threatening, right? But after the constant irritation and the constant hassle, and it doesn't stop flaring up, after a while, you want them removed. Okay, what about the appendix? Is the appendix good for anything?
Sure.
Yeah, it might be. But here's the thing. When the appendix flares up, if you leave that flare up alone, it's going to explode. It gets infected, it explodes, and you're at risk for death. And it has to be taken out. There's no restoring an appendix. And for a church, there are eyes and there are ears, but sometimes there's tonsils. And sometimes there's an appendix in the room. And so as a body, we have to say, we have to value all of the members of the body, because this is how God created the body. But we have to also pay attention to the to flare-ups. We can't, taking last week's and the week before, the messages on grace and truth, if we're all grace and we're not truth, we're going to ignore the tonsils. We're going to leave the appendix untreated, and that can be life-threatening for the body. In fact, when we're talking about hands and eyes and ears and all the parts of the body, what Paul is really talking about here is diversity. Diversity in what? Diversity in function, diversity in gifting, but also diversity in background. Sometimes people ask me specifically about Friendship Community Church, well, what kind of church are you? And one of my first answers is weird. We're a weird church. We're kind of a weird church. And we're weird partly because of me and partly because of you, really, to be honest. And so the fact of the matter is what are usually people asking when they say, what kind of church are you? What denomination? Yes. And so if you haven't had this conversation or a similar conversation with me before on, well, what kind of church are we? Or what do you believe about the end times? Or do you believe the earth is millions and millions of years old or only a few thousand years old? Or, you know, what's your position on baptizing babies versus adults? If you ever ask me one of those questions, you're going to get a similar answer almost every time. And you're going to get a question back. And that is, oh, that's an interesting question. Why is that question important to you? Why is that question important? Why is it important? I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying, why is that question important to you? Because I want to know your story. Because all of us, as members of the body, have different stories. We have different backgrounds. We have different giftings. We have different wounds and scars. We have different things we're looking for and certain things that we are definitely not looking for. And so, as a body, it's important that we don't have a room full of ears, right? Because who's going to talk? Or that we don't have a room full of mouths, because who's going to listen? And or we have a room full of feet, because it's hard to pick things up with your feet. We need hands. And so for anyone that says, what kind of church are you? I'll give the heritage of this church, that a sweet church over in Old Hickory, Tennessee, First Baptist Church of Old Hickory, it was a group of faithful believers that planted this church. But I want to just do a quick poll here. How many of you come from a Catholic background? I grew up in a Catholic household. How many of you came from a Baptist background? Okay, yes, I see that hand. We've heard that before. How many of you come from a mainline tradition like Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian? Where are my sprinklers at? Yes. You can tell a Methodist or a Presbyterian out, they take the donuts with the sprinkles. And then the Baptists are just dunking their donuts in their coffee constantly. How many of you came from no church background at all? Right. Thank you. Thank you for your faith and trust, as cautious as you are. And how many of you came from like a non-denominational background? Or a Pentecostal, charismatic, Assemblies of God, Word of Faith, Foursquare? Right. So what if we had a litmus test and said, you've got to get rid of your background and you've got to assimilate to here? We would lose the diversity. This is one of the things I love about this congregation, is the diversity and the history of our people. Again, restoration and discipleship over amputation or even accommodation. What do I mean by accommodation? If all of the eyes gather together and put together a focus group and they sign a petition and all of the eyes in the room say, we need to make sure that everything is visually like compelling in this room, which is going to take a while. I like red, white, and blue, but if things don't change for all the eyes in the room, then we've got an issue. Well, as a pastor, as a staff, as elders, we then have to say, well, is that accommodation? Does that accommodation affect the ears in the room? Does it affect the hands? In other words, accommodation sometimes is the squeaky wheels of the church. And so when we find people dismembered from the body, a lot of times it's because we, as individual members, we don't feel accommodated. And so we're going to talk about some of that as we go along in this series, this I Belong series. But I want to finish up with this point. If I belong to Christ, then I belong attached to the body. Makes sense, right? If Christ is the head of the body, if I belong to Christ, then I belong attached to the body. And that doesn't mean just the universal church. It means the local church. Because Paul was writing to a local church. Paul was a church planter. He was a missionary, but he was also a church planter and a pastoral trainer. That's what the pastoral epistles, the letters to young pastors, were for. The letters like 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, those are letters, pastoral letters to local pastors. You cannot believe the lie that is going on out in the ether of the Christian culture that says, I don't have to be a member of a local church. I'm just a member of the universal church. That's ignoring the context of all of Paul's writings and letters that we believe is the Holy Spirit-breathed Word of God. Why? Why must I belong attached to the body? Because God wants no superheroes. There's one superhero, and his name is Christ. And we're to be attached to him and his body. So we're not an army or a church of one, but we belong, you belong, I belong to something bigger than we could ever accomplish on our own. I belong to something bigger. What for? What? For gospel friendships, for gospel community, and for gospel church. Friendship, community, church. I belong to something bigger for those gospel friendships, those friendships that are united together with other members of the body, that go deeper than just sporting affiliations or work affiliations or school affiliations, for gospel community, where you know other people's names and you spend time with people that aren't like you. You spend time with ears and hands and even tonsils and appendix, and you tolerate their presence because they're not inflamed and they're not infected, and God put them in the body. And so you pray that they change from an appendix to an ear, but you love them despite their identity or their specific membership. And also, we want to belong to something bigger, for gospel bodies, for a gospel church. So I belong to the body for something bigger, a bigger mission, bigger capabilities, sure, but how about bigger humility? That I'm not about the individual, but I'm about the collective whole. How about bigger sacrifice and bigger submission to the plans of a bigger God that has bigger blueprints than I could ever or you could ever dream up? The church here, I want to close with this thought. The church here isn't to help people pursue private spiritual strategies or develop their own spiritual greatness. I want you to get this. The local church, scripturally, and this is also what I'm putting out there as my personal belief, the church is not here to help people pursue their own individual spiritual strategies or to develop their own personal spiritual greatness. Those things are overflow. They're byproducts. See, the church is not to be a spiritual fort either, where we avoid the wicked and evil world until our train arrives that takes us to heaven. This is not supposed to be a spiritual fort. No, spiritual growth and salvation are byproducts of something bigger, and that is the purpose of belonging to the body, to something bigger, is so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has called us to. And what is that purpose? It's twofold. The twofold purpose is the great commandment to love God with your all, and as a byproduct of that love of God with your all, you love your neighbors yourself. So love God, the great commandment, and the great commission, sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel, taking the good news of restoration to the world and not keeping it for ourselves because we're fine, because the individual is saved. You and I belong as members of the body of Christ, both universal and local, so that we can be part of bigger friendships, bigger community, and a bigger church. And I don't mean the number of seats that are filled, but a bigger church that spreads the love of God in our community and our world, not just with kindness, but with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the coming weeks, before we move into Shiloh Plaza, we're going to look at what this looks like practically for you and I, individually, but most importantly, collectively, and how this process of belonging can transform your faith and your life and the world around you. And I'm excited about this. And in the coming weeks, we're going to have slideshows of what's going on over there, but we're also going to have opportunities, new opportunities for you to serve. Like, we're reworking the volunteer teams here. We're reworking what the needs of going from a facility like this to a facility like that look like. We've got, y'all, we have got the biggest stage ever. It's like a mega stage. I mean, it is like, it's almost as wide as this room. And it wasn't intentional. We just kept building it bigger. And the cool thing about it is we're going to have places for people to come and pray on the sides intentionally, where you can, if you feel led to take communion each week, you can take communion with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones, where people, we need people that are wanting to pray in our time of invitation, in our time of reflection that's going to happen here in just a moment. We're going to need a team of people that come forward to pray for the church, not specifically for the altar's here for your personal prayer requests and for what you're going through, but we need people to pray for the body and not just for yourself as an individual member. So in a moment, we're going to have that time of invitation. And Paul Turner, our director of groups and discipleship, is going to take us through that time. But I want to see if there are people in this room that don't just want to serve in the parking lot ministry or greeting or handing out pens or working in the cafe or volunteering with children's church, which are all vitally important, and we're going to need even more of you to do that in the coming weeks and months. But people that are going to pray for the health of the body, nurses and orderlies and EMTs, physical therapists for the body through prayer. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have our time of response. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the human condition, God, that our condition says to our hearts and to our emotions and to our minds that we must belong. And if we feel that we don't belong, we have kind of a natural fight or flight response to that. And Father, the reason that I love that you've given us those responses is that it drives us to you, that it's your way of pursuing us by drawing us to yourself magnetically through your Spirit. Father, we all long to belong. It's why we dress certain ways. It's why we choose one car or another over another. It's why we fiercely fight to be unique, because we don't want to belong to this group, but we want to set ourselves apart from these other groups. We want to be noticed. We don't want to be noticed. We want to belong to the wallflowers, whatever it is, Father. We know from the study of your word, from theology, from psychology, we know that these are echoes of our orphanage from you. And Father, you're calling orphans home to be adopted by you as our great, holy, and loving Father. Thank you for the grace of sending your Son. Thank you for the imagery of us belonging to something bigger than we could ever accomplish on our own. Help us to squash the pride that says that we can do it all on our own. Help us to squash the pride that we have the best ideas. Help us to fail forward in your grace together. That sometimes it's better to be inefficiently united as a body than efficiently picking and choosing how we worship, where we worship, where we get our sermons, where we get our friendships. Father, help us to unite as a body, not for me as a pastor, not for a logo that represents our church, not for a facility or even a community like Mount Juliet and Hermitage and Lebanon and Donelson. But Father, help us to unite in unity and submission to your Spirit and your Son, who gave his life so that we might have eternal life with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.